5, 4, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Thanks so much for being here on this cold and brisk winter night. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi there on this rainy New Jersey cold night. was snowy, turned to rain, but, you know, I'm here. And I'm not in the chat room, but I'm here. I just, my son's using my computer. So if you have anything to say to me, tell Goldie.
Yeah, well, if you have something to say, Janine, and you want to type it out on the chat room, I'll be obviously happy to share it. So
Definitely. And that song, once again, thanks so much. It's my son Zach, and he's writing me the melody to a song from my book, and I'm hoping, you know, somewhere in February we'll get to play that. That'll be beautiful.
Right,
it's a song to the river, so it'll be great for the show.
Hey, maybe we could introduce it on my birthday night.
And yeah, because I come home from Ireland that night.
Yeah, you'll be so
yeah,
green.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be it'll be a good energy night.
Nice idea.
If it's ready before, we can do it before, and if not, you know, it'll be great to intro it.
We'll debut
that.
It. Yeah.
Debut, that's it. Right on.
Sure. Okay.
Yay! So, January 28th, 2013.
and tomorrow is the songwriter's birthday.
Oh, tomorrow's Zach's birthday. All right, everybody, happy birthday, Zach. And what, today was Poppy, his girlfriend's birthday, right?
Yesterday was Poppy's, and tomorrow Zach's, so they're both little Aquariuses, and
happy birthday, Poppy. We love you guys.
Thank you. I'll tell them.
Yeah, right on.
Yeah. So, how you doing, Goldie?
So, I'm doing okay. I think the best way to explain, if there is a way to explain, the best way to explain how I'm doing is, you know, it's January 28th, 2013, and, you know, in all honesty, being in the energy of 2013 is, I feel personally like there's magic in this energy. There's no doubt that it's magical energy, but it is like not the magic from, you know, the romance that I had in my head, you know, going through this ascension process.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, remember when we were talking a few weeks ago, and it might have been a few months ago, actually, and that's definitely one of the things that I'm hearing a lot of people say, people who are spiritually practicing and people who aren't, that the idea of losing track of time is very, very prevalent. People don't know if it was last week, 2 weeks ago, what day it was, what day it is. Hearing that very often.
Yeah, but, and that's not my thing, and that's been for me, too. I was just someone said, oh, what did you do this week? And I, and completely just like 4 days before that had been in Washington. And then this, and I'm like, oh, my God, was that just 3-4 days? I could, it seemed like, you know, 3 weeks ago. So
yeah.
I definitely have a different relationship with time. And I like it because, you know, I was, I'm a person that's like grounded and knows the time and knew that, you know, and I'm liking that the time has a different feel for me. It's it is an indication of something.
It is. It,
yeah. Yeah.
And I believe that what it is it's the it's planetary and galactic in the sense of remember when a few weeks ago when we were talking about the core of the planet had went from a sphere shape to a dodecahedron.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Okay.
We talked about that.
Whatever that was. You know, again, you know, Goldie has a standard. It was either 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago. And the truth is, it could have been 6 years ago. It could have been 60 days ago. I don't know how, you know, it was, it
I
was
do
not
remember
today.
It, though.
Okay. Well, I was reading today an update from David Wilcox has a blog, and I was reading an update today, and he was very much speaking about frequencies, how frequencies play a part in creation, and it's so interesting because for me, I can handle conversations. Not that I can't handle. Oh, hey Richard, good, glad to have you here. Serious Talk is here, and his name is Richard. It's Richard. Richard Copeland. Oh, right on, Richard. I love it. The frequencies. So as mm-hmm. and I highly recommend checking out this latest blog entry by David Wilcox on his website Divine Cosmos, because what I was getting was like his next level of awareness is that he's bringing in between the book The Law of One and some mm-hmm. other books, I think it was some Indian book. Because I would like to share with everybody, Dennis is here too. Hey, Dennis. I would like to share with everybody that I am definitely finding myself open to a lot more of people's shares, even though ultimately what they're sharing is, it doesn't feel like the destination is to leave the matrix. It feels like the destination is still within the matrix. But the truth is I'm attracted to this stuff. And so, you know, I know some people, it's like, oh, they hear fourth dimension, you know, that they feel a feeling in their body. It's like, that's not my journey. That's not my timeline. And I respect that. But the truth is, it is my journey and my timeline. But I can't really tell you why it is. I can only be honest and tell you that there are things that I am attracted to. So anyway, so I'm sharing that. And what David Wilcox was sharing was how these sacred geometries are taking how they're taking shape not just within planet Earth, but how the sun is taking on a new shape from, you know, a dodecahedron to a, you know, I don't know all these words, but, you know, each shape becoming consistently more complex. And it's happening to everything in our solar system. The reason why I get very excited when I hear about this is because it really supports the whole idea of a spontaneous shift
mm-hmm.
into a new frequency. Because all I have to do is see that Greg Braden video when he puts the frequency into the water droplet, and it all starts, you know, it creates a shape, a geometric shape, and then it goes into a chaotic state, and then it pops, and then it holds another shape, and as they raise the frequency, it goes back into chaos after a short time, and then it pops, and then it's in another geometric shape. So, you know, when you see this happen to a droplet of water, you know, you start understanding that well, that's going to happen to everything. Because, like, I was having a conversation actually with Dennis this week, and there was, we were having some interesting talk about, you know, depending on where we resonate, literally will depend on the life experiences. Let me put it a better way. It will depend on the world we experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has to do with timelines as much as it has to do with, you know, frequencies, certain beings being able to be in certain frequencies. And so the reason why I'm sharing this is,
What?
I hear an echo on myself. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, my computer was on, and then all of a sudden, I started hearing myself. God bless timelines. So, what I really kind of want to get to is, as I'm taking in all this information between watching the series Fringe and I found a new series, everybody, The Tomorrow People. A very interesting show from the late 1970s, is that I guess the information that's coming in is, it's telling me that it's important for me to be authentic, because the thing that I'm getting is, if my belief systems of what I've been conditioned to be is what I follow, I feel like I'm going into worlds where my pants are too tight or the jacket doesn't fit right. And it's like, you know, we're not cookie cutter people here. We are truly what opens up for us when we're authentic is the extraordinary. And I'll get more into this as the show goes on, but part of this is what I'm leading into is, I spent the day yesterday watching satanic videos. Well, not satanic videos. The Church of Satan. The people who founded, and the daughter of the founder. And these videos are actually, I guess, pretty old. They were from the, I think they were from the 80s. They're not recent, but it was a really interesting journey for me to watch these videos, because as I was listening to these people share about what Satan, the Church of Satanism believes and how they conduct themselves, I recognized immediately that I resonated with what they were saying, and that it was important for me to be able to share this with you guys and to share it on Facebook and to not deny, not to myself or to you guys, that I did resonate with these. And just so you know, I don't resonate with the things that you're probably thinking are the belief systems of Satanism. What these people shared is so incredibly different than what I consider... The irony, which is the Catholic Church has set out a propaganda very much around the cult of Satan, of Satanism. And from what my investigation personally has shown me is that everything that they're saying Satanism does is actually what the Catholic Church is doing in secrecy. So, like, it's this game of projection. You know, because Satanism doesn't involve any sacrificing. There's no sacrificing of animals or children, because they don't believe in a deity. They're not calling in a being that is Satan. They're literally just connecting with an energy that is the person who questions things and the rebel, the aspect of self that, if it feels something is not right, is not afraid to share it. I mean, it was like so authentically in alignment with who I am. And I'm going, you know, if it was 10, 15 years ago, it would not have shocked me if I would have, you know, went on Google and said, you know, I need to find, a chapter of the Satanisms around here. Because it was a resonance that it was authentic. I resonated with it. And they talked about instincts and intuition, and I won't go into all of it, but the key that I want to go into is that there was something that happened in my allowing this to be, two things happened. I allowed myself to watch the videos, even though initially when I started watching them, I thought for sure I was going to be bombarded with things that were going to upset me, which is why I couldn't understand initially why I was attracted to it. And B, I could feel something happening to me physically as I allowed their truth to kind of move through my being, where it's almost like the messenger, it was a paradox. Because if you would have told me I was going to get messages from, you know, the Church of Satan, I just would have been like, you know, I would have probably, my ego would have been like, oh, really? You know, and yet, and I get it. You know, I'm always saying I explore the dark side. I guess I had some limitations, and this was one of them. But the truth is, I don't have limitations. And I can't express to everyone enough, in a time where the truth is being revealed, and, you know, I know everybody wants it to be a beautiful world right now. So do I. I clearly, I'm on that page. But what I am finding, you know, January 28th, 2013, is the veil is lifting, hands down, the veil is lifting. But the truth that we're seeing is, if we're going to look at it honestly, you know, there is a darkness. And here's the funny part. The darkness wasn't found in the Satanic Church. The darkness was found at the Vatican. You know, the darkness is found, you know, where it's like everybody wants to be a rock star and a supermodel. Well, as the veil lifts, it's like, so all the quote-unquote normal people of the world are focusing on rock stars and I want to be a model in 15 minutes of fame. And when you go into those worlds, you know, it's filled with, you know, drugs and you know, people being, you know, mistreated and used and abused and chewed up and spit out. And, you know, I'm finding it just so like, wow, everything is so upside down.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, it's affecting me. It's affecting me, but I'm allowing it to affect me.
Yeah,
being in the flow is, you can feel it energetically. I can feel it. Like all week long, I was bordering on getting this cold or flu that, you know, I guess there's a lot of people that's going around, and, you know, I could feel it, and I kept asking it, what do you want me to know? What do you want me to know? And, I mean, I have not been going to the forest because it's been arctically cold around here. And that's usually the first thing that helps me unwind and untwist is the trees. But I didn't have the trees, and I worked, you know, last week with the girls. So it's been like close to like over about 10 days, 12 days, no forest. And all I kept going was, just allow everything to move through you. You know, don't hold on to it. Let it move through you. So, you know, I'm letting it move through me, and it's working. Okay, help me out here, Jay.
I'm listening to you and I'm following you, because it makes so much sense to me how genuine transformation, you know, from what I have felt and sensed happening with myself or in observation of you or anyone else, that there's a, you know, it's kind of an irony to say artificial transformation. When you have an agenda, not you, but when there's an agenda that the transformation should look such and such, I think that that isn't true transformation at all. But what you're describing to me is this genuine opening, and there's you're just allowing information and what, not even with a lot of drama, but that with, you know, with what would have been, you know, that word Satanism has been so, you know, stigmatized that,
absolutely,
you know, the minute you hear it, you're like, you know, hide the children, hide the children and the pets, you know,
and the cats, exactly,
and right. So you know, just to even be open to not to allow whatever that was, you know, it is truly to me the description of what occurs in a transformation or a shift, because and I have been sensing it as well, but your experiential, you know, telling us really to me displays that or shows that to me, like, and even when you told me right before we went on the show, I was telling you a dream I had about a mountain lion and just a moment with a mountain lion, and then you said about the children with the no judgment. And there's, to me, there's the same kind of frequency going on there. Like, there's just an openness. And it's, you know, what was, it's amazing what was considered, or, you know, taboo, or, it is so twisted and upside down, you know. And I've been thinking about that, too, how the religions that, quote, you know, are, like, out there in the world and considered by so many people. That's what astounds me. So many people have bought into this mass.
Billions. Billions.
Oh, yeah.
Billions.
And it's amazing to me that that still exists and that's still going on, but it is.
Well,
and
so, right. Right. That's what the whole, that's what the last 2,500 or 2,100 years
right,
has been
right.
About.
So. The description of what you're, you know, what's going on is this is what is occurring and will be occurring more. And like you said, the children on many levels coming in aren't even relating to those worlds. So that won't be happening, you know.
Yeah. No, right. Because, well, let me share the dream I had. I shared it on Facebook, but only briefly.
But, you know, can I just say that?
Of course.
One of the things that I just said that I think, you know, I'm listening to myself, and I realize that the true transformation doesn't occur because someone has an agenda of a transformation. It just doesn't. A transformation occurs by all the forces, you, the timelines, the work done, the know thyself work, the uncovering, the looking, you know, the going into the places where, you know, they do call them the dark because, you know, you discover them. They're you know, and
right.
That's where these transformational places happen. It's not because there's a sort of cookie cutter marketed transformational agenda. It's just
right
not
on.
Real or authentic.
Right on. Well,
so,
and that's clearly at least through the organic timeline.
That's what I was going to say. That is an organic. Right, and to me, that's what genuine presence and opening just, you know, for lack of a better word, doesn't understand an agenda. It just doesn't.
Right.
You know,
well, I mean, you can have a goal, but right, agenda is getting, you know, because...
Well, if you have a goal and, you know, I don't know what the goal would be, except you will allow yourself to be surprised by a different point of view, like, wow, I'm surprised, and that's what I heard you saying.
Well,
you know, wow,
right.
I'm surprised by that, you know.
Well, the goal has shifted many, 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 many times.
And it will, you know what I mean?
And that is organic, you know, that is...
Exactly.
Which is, kind of leads me to the space of how many people beat themselves up. You know, I hear a lot of self-negative talk lately of if you made a mistake or if you're, you know, in a situation that doesn't feel good or whatever it is that you're in, something you're uncomfortable with.
Right.
You know, because, you know, I have found that the energy right now, it's not so much like, what I want to emphasize is more about immediately there are things you can do that can assist you. Because I want to share this. I know I shared this on another show, but I'm getting to share this now.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first awakening, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, yeah, it's a bad habit. I talk negative about myself. And I used to be there. And I want to share something that was truly life-changing. I mean, it was a game-changer for me. What I did was, at the time, angels were still very much a part of my life. So I found these two angel books, and they had these, like, they had these amazing sayings. I want to call them spells, but they were like,
I like that.
They were bringing in, like, there was a wisdom. Like, I'll be honest with you, I could picture myself at some point doing Almeen, going to Almeen's page with her quotes. And what I did was I made a self-talk tape. Also, I believe there's a book called out there called, if you don't like what you're saying to yourself, learn a new self-talk, something like that. And it was literally a book of scripts that was in first person. And what I did was I made a tape, an audio tape, 45 minutes on each side, of me saying the most extraordinary things that I've never heard myself say before. And I played it. Day and night, I play it in the car. I mean, my mom used to get in the car and go, "Really? Really? We got to hear this again?" It's like, yes. I played it until I didn't enjoy it anymore, because I'm telling you, it was the most fascinating art to hear myself say extraordinary things. You can take these quotes from anywhere.
Right.
It's in hearing yourself say them that I can honestly tell you, you know, I'm not saying every now and then I'll have a point where I'll go, "Oh, that was pretty stupid, Goldie." But it's really, it's not a part of my experience, like, 99% of the time anymore. I simply look at it and go, "Oh, I made a mistake," or, "Oh, okay, let me flip my belief." It's like I'm much more scientific or neutral when things are changing in my world, as opposed to this belief and this story around it that says, you know, I'm a really bad person for changing my beliefs. It's like, no, you're not. None of us are. You know, we're in a frequency where it's alive and well, that I can guarantee we're all changing our self-talk, because the frequency of the core of the planet Earth, the frequency of the sun, of the solar system, of the galaxy, all of it is changing its shapes and its effect on us. So, you know, ride with the flow. Go with the flow. And I just wanted to share that, because it was something that when I did it, you know, I know people that won't leave voice messages on their answering machines because they don't like what their voice sounds like.
Right, that's a big one. Yeah, yeah.
And I've been there. There was a point in my life I didn't like my voice, and you know, I do 2-hour radio shows once a week. I mean, you find that these things sound so little, but in the journey to self and soul,
right?
Boy, they can make major. They're crossroads. They're major crossroads of. It's a simple, but yet it's a very conscious act to promote yourself in a positive, powerful way. And you know, I would love
and
to hear.
And those things are cumulative. You know,
that's exactly.
That kind of, you know, I want to call it work, because it's just a word that I even used just a few minutes ago, that do bring you, and I do find the fun part is that the cumulative effort that we put into, you know, like those kinds of things, like, oh, you know, listen to a CD till you're done with it, about you saying these extraordinary things about yourself, but that's all accumulative, and then you find yourself literally, you know, like realizing that, that you are a new person, that there's something about you, that you're doing things differently, you're answering people differently, you're thinking differently, your responses are different. You know, I mean, and it, to me, that's the kind of transformation that occurs naturally. But you put the effort in.
Exactly.
And that to me is, like, I find more than ever, you know, just from our conversation, that it is accumulative, you know,
yeah.
That,
yeah.
that there's some,
it
it's
is.
Almost like cooperate with the forces and the forces cooperate with you. It's like,
see,
it's
now
like
that's
a,
what
it,
they, yes, that's what they're
like
talking
a, and,
about in Satanism.
There you go. And
exactly.
See, to me, that's some form of quantum entanglement as well, because, I mean, I couldn't explain past, you know, I mean, I'll say something like that because it feels right, but I, you know, past that, I can't explain it, and that's
right.
okay.
Yes.
And that's okay. I don't need
yeah.
to. But
yeah.
but I do know that, you know, I think it was, you know, be bold and the force and the forces will support you. You know, I think Goethe said that, you know, the German guy. But
okay.
I do believe that you put in your effort and you're supported by the forces.
Yeah. It's also, you know, from a matrix point of view, i.e.
Uh-huh.
leaving the matrix is programming us with TV and music.
And
you know, everything that's coming into our field through
mm-hmm.
a frequency, it's about understanding sound. And so what you're really doing is countering the matrix by...
Right,
by
when I say forces, it's not... They're,
it's
they're
not
waves.
The matrix. No, it's not the matrix.
I agree. Yeah.
Yes. No, I agree. Because it's interesting because... You know, I mean, Janine, you're always outside the matrix. Well, you know, you're not always. I mean, we're still, you know, we have our journeys, but...
I get pedicure sometimes.
I bet you have pretty feet, too. No, but what I mean is because you are in the land of sensations and feelings.
Yeah.
See, once we get into the land where we're feeling... as a way to decipher our world,
right?
You're out of the matrix. That's why I say Janine is pretty much out of the matrix, because her diagnosis is not, you know, has anybody noticed most of the senses, 4 out of the 5 senses are in our heads. You know, that's not a coincidence. You know, the matrix wants us in our head, and so... If you can feel, you know, I think it's important to have a healthy dose of self-love, because like I was sharing is, from my experiences, as I am opening up to feeling more,
uh-huh.
I'm really quite clear that what I'm feeling is a tremendous pain that exists on the planet that,
mm-hmm.
because I numbed myself to my own pain, I also numbed myself to the planet's pain. And again, because I'm opening up to my own pain, I'm also opening up to the planet's pain. And, you know, it's not for the weak need. This is,
no,
you know, but I'm committed to this journey because I truly believe that my journey is, you know, God bless David Wilcox, what he's calling this time right now, based on the book of the Law of One and stuff, he's calling this the harvest.
Hmm.
Which
I'll have to see that.
Yes, I'll send you a link.
Okay.
You know, I find that, you know, that's what I call, well, if that's not a loaded. You know,
it is loaded, isn't it?
That
it's
is
like...
loaded. You know, because, you know, most of the people that listen to the show, we all listen to George, and the harvest could be, you know, we reap what we sow, or the harvest could be, you know, a collection of that which we, I'll just say it as it is, or a collection of souls. You know, because
mm-hmm.
for me, when you say harvest, I picture, you know, beings being gathered together, and if you can't handle the frequency of Mother Earth, you know, millions of people getting on spaceships
to go to another third dimensional experience, and that's what I consider the harvest to be. But I did find it, like I said, see, I'm sharing David Wilcox thing, like I said, even though I don't necessarily agree with, you know, his summations. What I really do, and I'm loving this actually, what I really want is for my audience, see, the truth is you guys can make your own decisions. And this is what I'm finding for myself. I can read things about a harvest, and in my humble opinion, David Wilcox is talking about other beings assisting us to come into our quote-unquote rainbow body. And, you know, one of the things I got from watching the Satan videos is that I don't need a church or any other group of anything, whether they be etheric beings, gods, archangels, ascended masters. I don't need anybody to ascend to assist me to ascend. I really am quite capable of doing this. Now, it from my humble opinion, it's not happening as quickly as I'd like. I wish I was in that plant dream. My other dream this week was I had a dream about plants, and I had this tremendous connection with them, and of course I haven't been to the forest in a few days, so, you know, I was like, you know. But the truth is, I'm still connected, is really what the dream was showing me.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say, that is occurring.
Right, right.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Even in the absence of my physical body being there, they are in my dreams, and they are multidimensional, and I have friends in multidimensional places that... Oh, this is what I wanted to share, too. I got to share some stories. And, you know, because, again, this was a conversation me and Dennis was having. You know, one thing I have found is, like, I was saying, when I go to the forest, yeah, I immediately feel good. And, Janine, I know you feel, you know, really amazing when you're amongst the trees.
Okay.
And one thing I have noticed, that there were two particular times, and I'm going to be fairly honest in this share. So, you know, if you can't handle honesty, you might want to tune out now. So, there were two times where the forest, the trees, literally made me, I mean, for lack of a better word, invisible. And, like, one of the things I'm noticing by watching the Fringe show, and I won't give it away, Richard, but one of the things I'm realizing by watching the Fringe show is how much heightened emotions create energy, which creates literally, it's the magic, it's the organic magic of dimension hopping, timeline hopping, having qualities and telepathic and, you know, all sorts of abilities. Everything happens in heightened states, whether the heightened state is fear, anger, orgasm. All of these are states where you know, the truth of who we are seems to, at least from my experience and what, from watching the show Fringe, comes out. So I was in the forest several years ago, and I was masturbating. And I'm telling you, Goldie was going to town. Well, and all of a sudden, 10 feet behind me, a couple, a guy and a girl, they look like a couple, came up behind me, and, you know, I was petrified. I mean, petrified. I was, you know, I was not being shy. And I had my poncho, my beloved poncho. I pulled the poncho over to me and just sat there, literally as still as a rock. My whole body was now covered and under the poncho. And I just sat there, and I could hear them, but the truth was they didn't move closer than 10 feet, but they did not respond as if they just walked upon somebody who was taking care of herself, so to speak, in any way, shape, or form. I mean, they did it. They were arm in arm, because I remember I quickly turned, look in the back, and then turned back. You know, I was literally mortified. I felt, you know, like, oh my God, this was a huge sense of shame and guilt came over me. Huge, huge. But the truth is, and I have run this experience over and over and over in my head, they really did not respond. Because they stayed for about, I don't know, 3 to 5 minutes, and then they kept walking on the path. And, you know, I mean, they strolled away. You just know from human behavior that there was no reaction. There was a lack of reaction, which immediately said to me they didn't see me, because they would have reacted if they saw me, just right. Like anybody would react if they saw that.
Right.
You know, so, but then another time, I was dating a guy in Pennsylvania, and he was on parole. Imagine that. And we happened to be camping. His sister wouldn't let me stay in the apartment, so I used to bring my tent with me, and every time we got together, we would camp and sleep in the woods. So we were under this railroad trestle, and we were in the tent, and we had been making love. We were both naked, and I believe I was at the place where I was, like, falling asleep on his chest. And, you know, I was just totally relaxed. It was a wild night. It was all good. And all of a sudden, there's footsteps, and I can hear police on their radio going, you know, ksh, you know, he went to the left, ksh, you know, there's three more to the right. And I'm like, oh my God. And I could hear rustling leaves and people running all around. And when I tell you that our tent was about 10 feet in to this little, you know, place of, you know, bushes and trees and wild growth, We were not 100 yards in. We were very close to the road. And I mean, I was petrified. I was like, oh my God. First of all, he couldn't be found outside. We had crossed the state line. He would have gotten in trouble because he wasn't supposed to leave the state. And I was petrified that, like, somebody was going to come in and either hold us gunpoint, they were going to rape me. You know, I mean, I was incredibly vulnerable. I had no clothes on, you know, and it was like I had been woken up from a state of total peace and relaxation to instant crisis. And they never found us. I mean, like, I'm telling you, I scratch my head and go, there is one explanation for that. They did not see the tent. And,
right.
And, you know,
because they certainly would have, like, who's in there? Or, you know, because they're obviously looking for someone.
And we can hear them running. I mean, it was like, it's just human behavior. You just, and I mean, I remember my heart was pounding out of my thing. And one of the things that I really want to share with this is, somebody just wrote in the chat room, seems like a lot of my dreams centers around fear and invisibility. Absolutely. I mean, I have had fear issues my whole life. I mean, they're definitely less now. But, you know, I think anybody that grows up in a harsh environment, you know, what's the first thing you wish? That they couldn't see you.
But also, these aren't dreams. This is real. I mean...
Oh, okay, that's true.
They might think you were telling a dream time.
Okay, yes. I forgot what your name was. Living with Nature, Paula. Paula, the two stories I just shared were actually true. I was in the forest both times when I went invisible, which is why, you know, I think it's what I'm getting, though, is, first of all, of course, both the heightened state at the time was orgasm. You know, don't orgasm. Don't underestimate it.
Probably change your frequency.
I believe it can change your timelines. I mean, and the things that are what David Wilcox is sharing right now is very interesting, because he's talking about the more that's going on with the end of the Mayan calendar, being where we are in placement to the galactic center and all that portals are going to be opening. And of course, you know, I love it. Everybody here. Next week on Tuesday, we'll have George Kavassalis here. And, you know, of course, we'll broach these questions, you know, to a man who I believe truly knows about, you know, the portals, even though my sense of it, and I believe George's sense as well, listening to him from other interviews and stuff, the portals are happening inside of us. Like, whatever that shift that's going on, shape-shifting, it is about shape-shifting. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's like I can't help but think about when, let me tell you, now these are two dreams that I had.
Okay.
And I'll tell them briefly. The first dream I had last week was I was planting plants in this tier of, like, metal containers or plastic containers. But I got the sense that we were totally indoors and planting these plants. It was like there was a deep connection that I was birthing life. I mean, there was a deep connection that these plants were not only was I birthing life, but the plants were birthing my own birth as I planted them. You know, in other words, there was a synergy that was going on. And when I woke up from that dream, I remember feeling deeply connected that, you know, even if people in the world don't acknowledge the work that I do from an internal point of view, clearly the trees and the plants do. I felt very acknowledged by these beings, very loved, very connected, and very protected. I mean, that protected is the best word, and that's when I started thinking about these two incidences where I went invisible, which was like the trees protecting me at a time where I was physically vulnerable and yet unseen. That was what got me to that tracking of those two stories. The dream got me to the stories. Now, the second dream that I had a couple of days later was I was hanging out with a large group of kids that were, I mean, the best way to explain it is they were all different types of, like, they expressed themselves through, you know, different hair colors and tattoos and the way they dressed and piercings, but it went far, far beyond that in their expression. There were blue kids and green kids and kids that, you know, were half, you know, shapeshifters. They were half animals, half humanoid. They were totally not humanoid, and, you know, they looked like some of the things you watch on kids shows. And the one thing I got when I was witnessing these kids was the absolute absence of judgment within each other, towards each other. Like, there was no judgment. And like, as I was watching them, they were preparing to become the leaders of our planet. And I mean, literally replacing, you know, the Gorbachevs and the Bushes and, you know, the Obamas. It was like I was just totally getting a sense of that they were going to run the world, and it was going to be such an exquisite frequency of diversity. And it was like that was the dream that led me into the tracking and the watching of the videos of Satanism. You know, it's like, you know, my dreams definitely play a part. It's like I seem to experience things in my dreams, and then I kind of anchor it into this dimension by experiencing it here. And, I mean, not always, but, clearly this past week that seemed to happen. And it was It's an extraordinary experience because, you know, when I hear people saying, you know, God, I'm so tired of all this clearing. When are we going to be done clearing? You know, are we there yet? And it's like, I was telling Janine that if you do the work of integration, true soul integration, you know, the challenging moments of that creative tension where it, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, whether it's frustration, whatever it is, if you go literally, if you grab hold of it and push it into yourself, you know, don't push it away, but take it in and keep taking it in and don't stop taking it in, what inevitably happens is it alchemizes. And that which was frustrating turns into that which is expanding. And, you know, these polar opposite things start happening. And that which made you really sad ends up being, you know, that's what we talked about last week. Breakdowns turn into breakthroughs. And when you're genuinely going through these, it is such a magical time. And like I said, it's the organic doesn't say, okay, you know, in 30 seconds you'll have the breakthrough. The organic will promise you a breakthrough every single time. I mean, every single time. It's a guarantee, but it won't guarantee how long it'll take, which is the opposite of the artificial. The artificial says, oh, you know, step right up, everybody. Step right up. We've got the magic red pill here. And in 5 minutes, you know, you'll be healed and you'll feel great. You know, and then the truth is, you know, you're still in an artificial fourth dimension that is, you know, still enslaving you, still manipulating you, you know.
Controlling.
Controlling,
yeah.
Right. So, please.
I was thinking that you're describing, you know, the unpredictableness of what true transformation, you know, what really does occur. And as you describe, there's an openness to, you know, just sort of ending up there and, you know, oh, look at that. And, you know, but with that, it's kind of funny because I'm not surprised now that I'm piecing together what, as I listen to you, that the openness that you're following or that to realize it goes hand in hand with the ability to relate so deeply with trees and nature and plants. And, you know, I think they're inseparable, really, that they,
I agree.
Because I look at my own life and, you know, not always being able to make sense out of what I was feeling. But now that I look back and what you just described, I had such, and still do, but as a young person, young kid, I had such a deep love and relationship with trees and plants and nature,
yeah,
that, you know, I wouldn't have known to describe that to someone, but I knew what I felt.
Right.
But there's an openness to experience life, you know, surprise, unpredictability, but it's all so extraordinary in the ordinary, and it's part of this process that you're explaining tonight, you know, and I'm following you, which I enjoy so much doing. Because what starts to show up for me is there's a thread here and there's a interrelatedness, and you know, and then I start putting together my experiences and I'm listening to you, and what struck me so much was the openness quality to, you know, the video of the Satanism. And you know, you even sent it to me, and I was beginning to watch it, not just for the sake of, oh yeah, I'll watch this. And you know, the audio was so like it was like watching, like, well, you said, the movies from like when they made Godzilla. It was like, wait, they're moving their lips, but the audio is like a little off. And so, you know, I sort of went into it, and then you know, without any kind of judgment of like, I can't watch this, I just was like, oh, the audio is getting to me, you know, and maybe that is my sensitivity. I don't know, but I was like,
I think that you didn't need to see it. I needed
right,
to see
so
it.
So I wasn't drawn to it quite
exactly
as you were, but I was willing. Let's put it that way.
Right on.
But what following you just in that last time that you were telling the story of the dreams, and then before that, the invisibility with the trees and the heightened place. And then it just, it struck me more than ever of the relationship we have, and so many people are missing the importance of the deep connection and interrelatedness with the trees and the and the plants, and you know I'm not even including the animals right now. I'm just talking
about
the trees,
the fauna,
and and then I just see the correlation between the openness, and it's not even like what comes first, the chicken or the egg, or the cart before the horse.
Right.
It's like you used the word before. It was like a
synergy.
Resonance or
synergy.
A synergy. They
yeah.
both occur. You know, they're occurring at the same time. I think they're really related. You know, openness and sensitivity to understanding a deep relationship with the trees. And you know, now that you think about it, the people that were so deeply connected with the earth and the earth forces and the magnetic, you know, part of earth, and they would talk about the trees as if they were, you know, beings and friends and, you know, deep respect and
absolutely.
fellow inhabitants, and you know, and that's no accident. I mean, that's because they
that's
are
authentic. That's authentic.
Yeah,
exactly.
And it's because they're sensitive, because their openness, their lack of corruptness. You know, they're almost forgetting or closedness, or you know, even a state of control. Because if you're in a state of control, you'll miss it. You know, And hey, whatever journey, you know, we are on until we arrive at, and just to, because it is one of my favorite things, but, you know, it's definitely not as much fun to be controlling and, you know, and need to know what's next, because first of all, that's an illusion, but you miss so much, you know, you miss these deep connections, and
the magic too. You miss,
and you, yeah, and the spontaneity,
because,
and
exactly.
the unpredictableness. You know
exactly.
where,
exactly.
you know, and just interesting little snippet from my dream, where last night or somewhere early in the morning, you know, I just noticed in my dream an animal, and this isn't something, you know, I go, oh yeah, okay, you know, that happens to me a lot. I can't say that it does, but just to have an animal walk by me and I stroke the back of the animal and then I turn to look and it's a mountain lion, you know, and it's just some beautiful, like, mountain lion moving past me, and I just touched it and that was it. There was nothing more than that, but it was, like, really surprising to me, you know, that I was like, oh, there's a mountain, you know, that's not my typical, where mountain lions live, which is kind of like the cliffs of, you know, typically of like the West. That's not my much
right.
more my
well,
natural
too. Florida, warmer places, I think. But
also,
I don't
but
think
also,
Colorado
also
too.
Like Arizona and the,
yeah.
you know, New Mexico and the mountains
yeah.
and you know
yeah.
and I'm more of like the Northeast and the deep forest, and you know, I wouldn't necessarily think of a mountain lion. You know, it just I wouldn't. So I thought, oh, that's interesting.
Well,
you know
that a mountain lion is one of my totems, right?
No.
It's the direction of within.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Well, no, I didn't know that. And
I
know,
seem
and,
to be visiting a lot of people in their dreams. So.
Well, there you go.
I don't remember this consciously, so. I'm just saying that, you know, that is something to ponder on anyways.
No. And by the way, you know, that's another whole, like, interesting world of, you know, timelines, paradigms, you know, dreams, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That's not just your unconscious going, oh, you know, that's an experience in itself.
Exactly.
So, right. So, you know, well, thanks for visiting me.
Hey, well, thanks for noticing. I almost walked right by you.
Right. Yes. In your stealth.
There it is,
invisible
right?
I was like, I see ya. So,
right on.
But but it, you know, it's funny because there. What I like, what I've noticed lately is, you know, I'm not really, but you know, a neutral place is an interesting place. You could almost, it's got, you could almost say, wow, is this a place of indifference? And it's just, you know, really being a place of neutrality is a place you almost have to get comfortable with and reoriented to, because
right,
we live so much in a world of like flying emotions of like, you know,
opposite,
on this side or
opposite.
That side.
Yeah.
Right. Of when you're in a place of neutrality, it's almost like you're like, you know, this is, you know, I had to check myself and go, am I just being indifferent? You know, like, because, and it's like, no, this is neutral. And it's a wild place to be, you know, because it's not really promoted very much in our society. You know, you're either one or the other, you know, you're,
and
you know,
that's where they want you, is, you know, the powers that be want you.
Right, and
a
that whole
side.
Celebrity thing that you were talking about and all that heightened, heightened places and the
well,
places.
Well, just the whole moral right and wrong.
Right,
I mean,
right. It's, right.
That's
so
what the Satanists were showing me. Yeah.
So I was just, today I was even noticing it, that the neutral place, I was going, wow, you know, I'm even getting used to neutrality, as opposed to, because you could almost classify it as indifferent, which has a negative connotation. See,
right.
Indifferent would be, oh, you don't care.
You don't care, right.
Right. And it's like, so, you know, that's...
Neutrality is like the respect of the organic.
Right.
And, it really comes down to that, it's not that you don't care, it's that you don't interfere.
Yes, I have to tell you, it's a place to that I'm, you know, that I'm really looking at right now, because I'll find myself being in this neutral place, and I'll, you know, I'll be like starting to look at it and going, is this indifference? Do you not, you know, I'm like, no, don't go there. I mean, if that's that negative talk stuff, but it's like I was looking at it. I was looking at neutrality, and you know, maybe that's another very kind of in this timeline, a new orientation, which might surprise people when they're in a place of neutrality. They might have to like really go, wow, this is neutrality. This is not indifference. This is not caring.
Right.
This is just center place,
yeah.
You know, and
well, it's a drama-free zone.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
And it's so, you know, I'm just putting it out there because I was,
but
thinking,
I promise you, it's not boring. And you know,
oh, no.
And
no.
The truth is, well, you know, it's not like you walk in, you shut the door, and you can, you know, guarantee 3 hours in a drama-free zone.
I like that. That's very good. I really like that drama-free zone thing.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I definitely, and this is where I say nature guarantees the
yeah.
entangle. Since my mother died in 2000, there is only one place on the planet that no matter what I am feeling from, you know, quote-unquote the negative, which would be frustration, fear, anger, you know,
right.
stuff that hasn't really been taught to me how to express, but it's like, or confusion as well. Every single time I put my physical body in the woods, it's not that the solution came to me. Well, what the solution was is it unwrapped my tangled, like, strings.
Yeah.
And I simply went, I don't care right now. And this is not about indifference. It's simply the energy that I was focusing from my mental, I must figure this out. I must have
right,
an answer.
Right, right.
Holy God, I must have an answer. I got to the woods, and it was like, relax.
I love that you said that, because as you were talking, this is the process that was happening. I was listening to you, and at the same time, I was recognizing that the neutral place, the untangled place, also allows for the ability to wait. Like, there's a direct correlation with, you know, not needing to force something.
Yeah.
It's and that you have this capability for waiting for right timing, and you know, that's another form of, like, that's an art place, I think, where, you know, because that's another non-cultural, you know, the waiting place, like just being able to wait.
Right. Well,
right.
But you're not in
now.
Waiting.
Hurry. You know,
exactly. You're just in a space because I can feel like when I walk into the woods and like let's say I'm in confusion. I go and, you know, I find myself, you know, or I find your spot, where are you going to chill? And I chill and I wait because, like, I can feel my thoughts, you know, racing. And then it'll happen. I'll drop into, you know, where, oh, I'm noticing the trees, or I'll hear the birds start to sing, or I'll see a chipmunk, or the clouds will dance by, or a breeze, you know, will send a chill down my, you know, arms. You know, something will happen that's exclusively in the space I'm in. It's nature. And that's when I'll admire my surroundings. I'm always in gratitude when I'm there because there's no joke. I feel love. I mean, I don't feel love in every space and with every person, including my boyfriend and my dad. I just don't always feel love from them. But I have never had a time where I've gone to the woods and not felt loved. And I can tell you stories when me and Alana went to the woods at night and we heard a pack of coyotes, like, ripping something to shreds. And, you know, we were at the chambers. So it was nighttime. You know, we couldn't really see where the hell we were going.
Wait, and you were sleeping there?
Well, we didn't plan on sleeping there, but we didn't plan on leaving as quickly as we did. But as soon as I heard that, even when I was in fear, because I was like, Alana, I don't know, what do we do? Do we put on the light to walk home, or, you know, do we do it without light? And she's like, put the light on. I mean, she was such more grounded than I was. I was like, but the wolves will see us, or the coyotes. And she was like, you know, but we kind of want them to see us. They should be afraid of people. We should be holding our own here. And the truth is, you know, I went back to our car, my car, and nothing had happened. And as soon as I got in the car, you know, I recognized that, you know, I was afraid, absolutely, but I could go underneath that fear, because the truth is, those are my woods. Yeah, there are certain woods that I know to be mine.
Right.
And that's what I got in the dream last week, was that when I was planting those plants, I really did hear that when I step into the forest, the entire forest knows that I'm there. You know, and, you know, you can't help but go to, like, movies like Avatar, where after the, you know, people were unable to get the machines, you know, the people driving the machines out, what inevitably happened was nature herself on that planet started fighting against the machines. You know, the dragons didn't need people to fly on them, you know, and the big rhinoceros bull-like things, you know, with the big hammerhead, you know, whatever beings, you know, were taking out the guys in the mechanical walker things. Hopefully you guys have seen the movie, so you know what the heck I'm talking about. Loved Avatar, exactly. And so, because it started coming clear to me that the relationship that I have fostered in the forest, in my humble opinion, is worldwide. I truly believe that there is a connection. Every tree is connected to every other tree. Now, George has spoken about saying there's good trees and bad trees. That does not surprise me at all. Everything in this dimension is polarized, so, you know, maybe there are certain trees that, you know, don't want to help us, or specifically myself, but there's also trees that absolutely do want to help us, and I have already told you about, you know, going invisible was clearly with the assistance of the trees. I didn't say to myself, you know, I'm invisible.
I
simply experienced invisibility at a time that was very helpful for me to experience that. And if something's going to go down artificially, you know, whether it's, you know, aliens coming or whatever, I don't know what the artificial timeline has in store. But I clearly got that, you know, the earth won't just protect me from, you know, invisibility. If I was to live in the forest, you know, I would receive guidance, just like I do
yeah.
now, but it would be guidance of survival or guidance where a portal was opening or, I don't know. You know, I just know I trust it, and I highly, highly recommend everybody foster a relationship. Two beings you should foster a relationship with, Mother Earth and yourself. Because the changes that are coming with all this geometry, sacred geometry and the frequencies, that relationship, that fostered relationship is absolutely, it's almost like, you know, you watch these shows on TV, the preparation of the doomsday preppers, they're calling them, you know, where
okay.
they're stocking up on food and
oh,
rifles
yeah, yeah.
and... You know, and hey, listen, I honor preparation, you know, that's what they feel is, you know, going to work with them. But you can clearly tell that they look at nature as a place to hide in the bunker. Because I really believe it, the preparation with nature is exactly like you were saying, Janine, just be in the moment. You know, part of the reason why we have all learned to become... good waiters, you know, because I think a lot of us awakened, you know, essentially we've been awake our whole lives, and now we're actually in the space where this metamorphosis is actually taking place. But I think because patience is a stream of consciousness and perseverance is a stream of consciousness, that nature will send messages in those streams of consciousness that if you're, you know, if you're busy running around,
oh, without
you know,
a doubt,
busy,
without
busy, busy, you're not going to hear that message. You're just
right.
not, and it's going to
be nature's rhythm is slower than this man-made, you know, running around clock, you know, this and that, and now we're doing that. The natural rhythm of nature is slower. So if you can slow down to that rhythm, you definitely
that's right on, babe.
Well,
see, that's,
you know, that's a that's a language.
That is
language.
A language.
Right.
And don't let anybody fool you who's, you know, the doers, quote unquote, the people that are, because, you know, it's interesting. I'll see people on Facebook, you know, going, you know, I have the energy of a 20-year-old and, you know, I can get so much done. And you know, and I honor that, but I literally say to myself, if at this state of the game, you know, you're still totally energized, it doesn't feel organic to me. I mean, because the people who I know are on the organic, and I'm not saying that people don't have energy, but there's a mental energy that keeps people, you know, busy as bees, you know, buzz, 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 got to get this done.
Right,
you know,
right.
You can just tell in their posts, there's never talk of downtime. You know, even
yeah.
their downtime is doing something. I have friends who, they're just always, they're in their mind. The mind never sleeps.
Yeah.
You know, the body in balance is, you know, I'm definitely, listen, I'm looking to do the art of doing nothing and getting it all done. That is the magic I am looking to master. So I'm not,
isn't
you know,
that
very,
isn't that very Robert,
Robert Young. Very Robert
yes.
Young. But I'm making it very Golden Hawk. So I get it. I'm also on the other end of the spectrum. And see, there's probably some judgment going on from there for me. But there's also some observational truth that everything should be in balance. You know, because a good friend of ours, in fact, a woman that works with Sarah, Pat, who wrote the Hummingbird book.
Yes. Yes.
Was just talking today that she's getting the urge to write, but she doesn't, you know, she's like, I'm not sure what to do. I want to write, I don't know what to write, and I just shared with her, the creative tension, you know. It's beautiful. It gets you moving, but you know, we move into a space of the unknown, so it becomes uncomfortable because you might not necessarily know how to put it on paper initially, or you know,
yeah.
That
yeah.
polarized experience of I know it's time to move, but I don't know where to. And, you know, again, movement is good. Movement is good. Rest is good. Rest by no means is lazy. That is something, again, I'll be the poster child. Just because I'm lying there does not mean I'm not doing anything. You know, in fact, I believe I've been blessed with the ability to spend many hours lying there because of the work I'm doing. You know, and it is hands down, it's exhausting doing this integrative work. It's exhausting allowing yourself to take in the pain, you know, that ultimately I've created, you know, and again, it's all good. It's just all good.
Yeah. No, I find that interesting what you said before about, you know, maybe not letting yourself feel the pain earlier on, so now you're feeling your pain, but you're feeling the pain of the world. And I remember there was a stage where I used to feel, and vulnerability is such an important place, and a real turning point, and it's a have to be. Vulnerability. I remember feeling like a soft shell crab, laying just completely vulnerable to everything. But I believe that that's a necessary. You cannot run or hide from your. And eventually you cannot run or hide. But that vulnerability is such an important piece. And so, feeling that your own pain and feeling the pain of the world is, to me, that's the ability to be vulnerable. You know, you can't run away from that. You wouldn't want to. I mean, you can for, I guess, a while, thinking, you know, you've got it down. You know, I tricked everybody. I don't have to feel the pain. But
That's not our game.
I just remember there's just no way that these transformations, these new places of, you know, just being could ever have occurred without feeling those painful, painful self places and the places of the world. And, you know, for not just for people, but for the animals, for what
exactly.
We've done to each other.
Exactly.
You know, I just, you know, and you can run, but you can't hide, you know. I mean, you do eventually come to these vulnerable places. And I think that I just remember how important they are and were. So, you know.
Yeah, right on.
Here
and there
for
really
vulnerability.
Is, there's a great value. There's a great value. But, you know,
yeah,
not to
my,
be... Go ahead.
No, but in my stories, you know, I don't know what I'm going to write, but I inevitably, the characters, and, you know, I'm thinking of two characters from the Magic Gown, Lily and then Nil, of course, in this new book, but they always reach an incredible place of vulnerability. That's the turning point. And, you know, that's because they were me. I mean, you know, God, that was the best Golden Hawk. When I was talking about Sean, this is so funny for the listeners. I was talking about my character, Sean the Rabbit Thief, who at one moment, I guess it was like on Saturday, I was just feeling how this little heart of this little hero was so beautiful, and I was very, very emotional. And Golden Hawk goes, "Oh, Jenny, you're just so schizophrenic. That's you." and I was like, "Oh, she's right. It is me. I am schizophrenic." I started laughing. It was so great. It was just such a great moment and funny to me. And then it all fell into place, you know. I mean, all those things are true, you know. Those characters are me, and, you know, the ones that had to go to the dark places, and, you know, I had to push myself. But I do remember that, even Sean went to a truly vulnerable place, and that's when the story changes, and I don't want to give it away, but, you know,
right on.
It's just such an important piece. So when I hear you say those things, like, and I'm feeling my pain, and I'm feeling the pain of the world, and then you start describing, you know, your recognition of the important relationship with plants and trees, and then your openness to watch things that you know that according to society, you know, these words have such, you know, like, oh, how dare you go there, don't watch that, you know. And it's like, why? You know, why?
Well,
and that's an openness to me.
Yes.
So I, you know, this is what vulnerability, I mean, it's a real ticket in, but you arrive at these vulnerable places, once again, unpredictably. And that's how it is. And that's why I love that the first thing that's got to go is control, and trust moves in, because you can't trust and control, they don't room together.
Well, right. Well, okay, but Paula just posted, pain and joy of the world, we choose which to connect to. How would you respond to that, Jay?
Pain and joy. They might come in different times, but there's both in the world. So,
exactly.
You know, I wouldn't want to deny the, you know, if you're denying that pain doesn't exist, then you're denying pain doesn't exist within yourself. So I would say that you really need to acknowledge that they both exist. You can't just, that's how I would see it. And I would say that there's a true vulnerability in recognizing that there's pain in the world, and there's pain, you know, I mean, for myself, that's what I would say, that
right. This
is a beautiful world, but it's got pain in it too. And we are beautiful people, but we have pain in ourselves as well.
And there's beauty in the pain.
Right, because vulnerability is truly the transformational place. It truly is when you let go of control and you're in a place of trust and you are the vulnerable hero, this is when it happens. You know, there is no hero that goes on their journey totally, totally free of vulnerability and pain. It's just impossible.
Right.
I'm not going to go into the greatest stories that, you know, that still exist. They're all filled with vulnerability and pain. I mean, the Buddha stories, all the stories,
the Jesus stories,
they're all, when does the transformation happen?
Look at Janine going religion on us. Wow.
No, but even you know, the story, well, I was going to say to you before when you were saying to me, because I, you know, I can't help it, I write stories, but when you were saying before about the trees,
yeah,
I was going, and the invisible stuff, I was going, ooh, that would be so good in a storybook. I was like, wow. I was like, I have to tell Goldie. She's, you know, this is good for storytelling, you know.
Indeed.
Like, you know, for when the kids get lost in the forest and they need to hide and the trees put them invisible. And, you know, I was like, I already had the story going. But but it's true. It's true that the vulnerability is, and our resonance is a great teacher. That's what I would say.
And thank you for that. Thank you. Paula, the reason why I had Janine answer it first, because I tend to get lectury, and I don't want to lecture you. I really don't. I mean that sincerely. But what I got when I watched several of these satanic videos, the interviewer, especially in one particular, the interviewer was clearly a Christian. And when he was talking to the gentleman who was of the werewolf order, you know, he kept wanting to put the Christian values of the perception of what is morally right or wrong. Like, he goes, is murder right? And this guy from the werewolf order goes, who's to say? You know, And the guy kept, the interviewer kept going, well, what do you mean, who's to say? Murder is clearly wrong. And the werewolf guy goes, I'm not going to say that. There's circumstances, because he kept going, murder is a part of the experience. It's a part of the human experience. So he was really, had a much more expanded point of view in that it's in the calling of it being right or wrong.
Yeah.
Which is what I saw when I saw you say pain and joy of the world, we can choose which to connect to. See, you can't choose, and you don't want to choose, because in the organic journey, we connect to joy when we have a breakthrough. We connect to pain when it's time to integrate something. And organically, there's no, you can't say, oh, this is a bad time. You know, it's like, I get it. We're all dressed up for the party, and an integration comes in. And the truth is, it's what I would call, I've always described the integration process as me puking on myself. And, you know, I had said to Janine on Friday, hey, let's do, I want to see if I can get 3 hours of Blog Talk Radio, if I can go an hour past my designated two-hour time before I do my show with George next week. And I had said to her on Friday, hey, let's do a show this weekend and, you know, and test the three-hour thing. And then integration came up, and me and Janine pretty much didn't speak the whole weekend. And that's because, okay, you can want to do a radio show, Goldie, but you're integrating now, so it's not going to happen.
Right, right.
You know, meaning I don't decide the time. I surrender to when I'm in joy, hey, let's do radio shows, especially extra radio shows. But when I'm in integration, you know, sometimes I'll share that on the air. But most of the time, what I'll do is I'll just, you know, I have to go through my experience. Okay, and she's writing. I just want to be fair to her for you, Janine. She wrote, not denying, just realizing when we are in one, we can always move to another. And then she wrote, some people choose to live in constant pain and never come to joy. And I agree with that because, and what's so interesting about that constant pain is they are getting something from it. That's the part that people, you know, all you have to do is look at somebody with S and M, you know, the people who want to have sex, but first they want to be choked to near death and then go into orgasm.
Right, right.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Richard likes how I paint my paint with words. well, because, and like I said, I highly, highly recommend Paula. Check out the Satanist, because you can see how in self, I could see it through watching this Christian interviewer. He was interrupting these people. He wouldn't let them speak. He was putting all his beliefs on them. And in the truth of it, you know, the Satanists were absolutely on the mark for ascension. Because the ascension is, if we're leaving the matrix, we're leaving the polarity. The center point is we feel it all, we allow it all, and the beauty is by doing that with self, we will prepare ourselves that when the planet goes to zero point and pushes us out the birth canal, we're going to go with. You know, it's this amazing self-reflection. Everything's self-reflecting, you know, and it's very interesting to see where our beliefs are coming in that are still, you know, where are they still running us in the sense of being polarized. And I'm telling you, I was a component of being right. I still have issues with, I want to be right. This is, Janine's had several conversations with me. She knows. So is Dennis. wait a minute. Okay. Correct, they are getting something from it. Not the people I would choose as close friends. Well, I would say I agree with that, unless they're doing it with a sense of integrity in that, have you ever met, you know, a dominatrix who's, you know, she's smacking people on their asses and sticking balls in their mouth and tying them up like a goat, and she owns it. You know, like, I don't want to hang out with any victims and whiners. God knows I've got no patience for people who whine all the time and victims. But I can tell you that from my own experience, being around people who are in pain is I'm not unfamiliar with. I myself included, the key is to be in the pain but not be a victim of it. I think we all err on having a belief system we measure things and others with. Yeah, that's judgment, right? I mean, I agree. I just wanted to keep you in the loop, Janine.
Yeah, and thank you. No, I'm listening. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Because I'm not in the chat room. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why I'm verbalizing more of the chat room tonight than normal.
No, I like the interaction.
I do too. I do too, and I also
I like it. It adds dimension.
It does add dimension. And I'll be honest with you. You know, last week when we had Elise call in and share on the on the phone call, I mean, I invite you, Paula, call in, share. Call, you know, I would love your input and your voice, and it's very liberating to speak on the air. I'm not forcing anybody, but I'm absolutely inviting everybody. I'm hoping in 2013 that the show becomes definitely more interactive. I want to hear from you guys, and I want to know your experiences and how you're feeling, and if life works out grand, have a breakthrough on the air. You know, that's a hope and a wish, and you know, I hope it, even though the truth is when I have George on next week, just so everybody knows, I won't be opening a chat room.
No, I think that's wise.
Yeah, George comes with a very large audience, and they've created mob scenes, so there will be no chat room next week for George's show. But you guys can call in, or you can listen online. There just won't be a chat room. Anyways, what else?
I don't know. I'm just going with the flow here, you know. Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff. I like the, you know, I'm always, it's those questions are good because I'm always looking at, you know, and even myself, where we can catch ourselves in a certain bias, you know, and I like looking at that. I think that's a real mature growth place of, you know, are we willing to look at both sides? And you know, and I mean, certain things in life presents itself that are so organic. I mean, what popped into my head when you were just reading Paula's response, but then, you know, about the whole pain and people's choices, and, you know, what popped into my head was my experience of walking into a grocery store, and I'm in the produce section, and a woman catches my eye who I hadn't seen in, like, I don't know, 17 years. And she had an affair with my husband, who I'm no longer married to, which is, you know, just something that happened later. But where she was in such deep pain because of what happened between us, you know, and there we were holding each other in the produce section. And there was just an exchange. But trust me, there was a lot of pain there for her.
Right on.
And there was something beautiful that occurred just by me allowing her. She was in, you know, I didn't try to shoo away her pain, talk her out of her pain, and something happened there that was like whatever she was holding on to left, because,
well, I would say it was guilt, probably. I mean, she
there was a lot. There was guilt, there was shame, there was,
right.
She just downright felt bad about it. You know,
right.
she said she didn't, you know, she had betrayed my friendship in a way that, you know, was horrible in a way. I mean, I had kids and, you know, it just wasn't something, you know, you go, oh, that's good, you know.
yeah.
And, but that moment was extraordinary for her and me.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember calling my mother, and then my mother was touched deeply because we were all affected by this very, you know, sad, uncomfortable time. And, you know, and betrayal is painful, but it's a great teacher. And so these kinds of things that have expanded my world and my life and my ability to feel for people and help myself, they just would never have occurred if I hadn't experienced extraordinary pain, and
right.
Vice versa. So there's value in so much, you know, that I look at things differently, and I go check myself on any kind of bias. You know, joy is incredible and wonderful, but that's not always it plays out, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, you can walk into a grocery store to buy some apples, and here you go. You know, you're in somebody's arms crying over 17 years ago. You know, so, and it was beautiful, but it also involved pain.
That's
so
a great chat.
I think that life is so rich.
Right on.
You know.
We have a caller. We need to bring on the caller. But I couldn't interrupt that share. That share needed its day, and you needed to share that.
Yeah.
Time in the sun, so to speak. Area code 732, you're on the air.
Hi, Goldie. Hi, Janine. It's Elise. How are you guys?
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. Hi. I couldn't get in the chat tonight, but I just wanted to let y'all know that I was listening. And I, too, like you, have been going through the integration. And, boy, it's exhausting, but it's awesome.
Right on. Exactly.
Yeah, so I just wanted to share with you that my magical weekend that I had with my initiation art.
Okay.
I got to get a piece of driftwood, and actually my cousin had cut some firewood, and I painted on, actually, Goldie, I sent you the picture on your Yahoo. It was awesome. I burned it in the fire, and it was just absolutely, I had a 3-hour fire, a bonfire, and it was just me and Mother Nature, and it was the most magnificent high that I can't even imagine to begin to explain the type of euphoria that I had after all the pain was released. So,
wow, that's nice. Can I ask you? You said you painted on driftwood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you burned it.
Yep. I took Goldie's suggestion and I painted it. I just painted a bunch of symbols on it.
All the
things that I went through when I shared with you guys last week. You know.
Yes.
But it started with my dad, you know, and I actually went to when I was 8 years old. And so I realized that I had never, and here's the hit, I never actually felt the anger of that experience with my father, because I wanted to be daddy's little girl always. So I never was really able, although I had resentments and all these crazy things. But so I had to sit there and feel that anger as I burned the fire, you know, before I threw it in there.
Yeah.
So I wrote that on it, and my mom, there were some things with my mom, and, you know, relationships, and just, it was just really beautiful, my fears of money, and one big thing came up while I was painting was, I put a big U for unworthiness, because as an addict, I always felt like I was unworthy, and I was just never really enough, you know.
Yeah,
and so I put that on it, and it was just really great. But the magical thing was when I first lit the fire, I sat down and I was so one with nature, because in my backyard there's all these big trees, and I mean I had raked my ass off all day long. I broke the rake, y'all. I had such a pile of leaves that finally, I don't know, Mother Nature said, that's enough. We're just going to break the rake now. You need to sit down. You're not going to be able to walk and pick up your boy tomorrow when you go do your nanny job, you know. So after I had about a 5-foot pile, you know, I sat down and this amazing, like Goldie, you were talking about it earlier, the chills, like I just, Mother Nature was just, she had her arms wrapped around me and I could feel her. And I was just looking up at the trees, and each tree was like part of the ceremony. And like one tree would shimmy, you know, just the one tree, and it would let me know its presence. And I was like, ooh, cool, welcome. And then it would stop, you know, and then the tree behind me would do it. And then I could just feel her breath on me. Oh, man, you guys, it was just awesome. And then it would stop, and it would go completely quiet. You know, and then I took that in, and then I did my little tears and my crying and whatever I went through. And, you know, I was just sitting there with the piece of wood on my lap. And then my mom showed up, and my dad showed up, and, you know, everybody showed up. And, you know, I was just like, wow. And then another wave of wind would come with the trees. And it happened about 4 or 5 times. And I was so exhausted from all the work, the yard work and everything, and the packing and the unpacking and everything. So I fell asleep for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then another one would come by. And then finally it was time to put that piece of wood on fire. And when I did it, it was really, really cool because it didn't burn right away. You know, all the other stuff around it did. But finally when it went up, it was just so, you know, I fully experienced the anger, you know. And I thought that I was going to wind up screaming and yelling, Goldie, but I thought, man, I don't want to freak out the neighbors, you know, because I just moved in.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I went through that. I screamed anyways, but it took me some time. There is.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there is an embedded belief, especially in women, that we are afraid to show anger. Like, you know, I remember the feeling of, like, even with Janine, if I get big in my energy, and I'm not even just talking anger, if I get excited, but like when I get angry, my voice raises, and I've had men on several occasions go, lower your voice, and you know, the truth is I can't. I'm fired up. I mean, my voice gets bigger because more energy is pumping through my being. I mean, and you know, it's important for us not to edit that energy, especially in a ceremony that is there to release it. You know, that's why I had Janet's neighbors, and I went, hey, screw it, man. I'm here to release, and so be it. They got a, you know, a nutcase in their backyard screaming at the fire pit. So I got it.
Well, I have had some experience with my shamanic work, and I've done some primal screams, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I did release it. And I just, I am right with you when you're saying that, because I wanted to scream, or I thought I wanted to scream, and I thought, well, you know, if the neighbors hear it, it'll be okay. But I just went into this rhythmic breathing, this really loud and deep breathing, like almost like I was giving birth, you know. And I just kept doing this, and that kind of sparked the fire. It was just me and the fire with this rhythmic breathing. And then when I was ready, I said, okay, well, I can scream now. It's okay. Well, nothing would come out. So I was like, okay, well, maybe I just wasn't meant to scream, you know. And then I just kept the breathing up, and the fire would go out. And then I remember what you were saying, Goldie, and I was just like, well, let's see what I can do now, you know. And I concentrated, and I was like, come on, flare up, you know. And I'm like, get that anger out of there, and poof, it flipped out again. It was awesome. So it would go out, and then I would set it off again, and it was great. It was great. It was just absolutely magnificent.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, you go,
what?
Jess. You go.
No, I was going to say, I like how you integrated the painting onto the driftwood, which, you know, it has a whole element of itself with the wood, but also having been in the water and then coming back again to the earth. But I love that you integrated all of the initiation art, the both the painting and then with the fire. I, you know, that was a really nice integration, or, you know, entwining. I like that. And I also think it's really interesting that you fell asleep. I mean, I think
that was interesting too, right?
I think that's a very deep, probably like, you know, it felt like reparative, or just a deep place that you fell asleep.
When you're asleep, it's your subconscious that comes to the surface.
Yeah, and that was something I didn't expect to hear, so I picked right up on that.
Yep, me too.
You guys, this is great, because I thought I fell asleep because I was just so damn tired from raking leaves all day and weeding the garden. But wow, yeah, I think something did happen when I went to sleep, because I was just somewhere else. I think I went to another dimension or something. Yeah, I really kind of...
Yeah, and remember...
Go ahead.
When you do ceremony, it's not here to... It doesn't follow logic and reason. The magic is the illogical, the unrational. You know, and again, and you can't do it wrong. You know,
it's so fun to hear it for me.
Oh, totally.
You know,
but
I love it, because and that's exactly right, Goldie. It's like, it is the irrational. There's no rhyme or reason, and now you do this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
very creative in itself,
exactly.
So that's beautiful.
Exactly. It's awesome.
Well, you want to hear something funny? When I first set the fire, my neighbor next door, his name is George Williams, he was in Vietnam, and he got his leg blown off, and we introduced ourselves over the weekend. Well, as soon as I set the fire, I hear the sliding door to his backyard open, you know,
And he comes out and he's like, everything okay over there? You got your hose? Because, y'all, when it went up, it went the fuck up. It just shot up in the air. I looked up at one point, and I have really big, tall trees, and I was going, oh, shit, am I going to catch fire to the tree? Is my hose going to reach that high? Well, George said he heard it from his house inside the door when
wow.
it went poof. And I was like, wow. And so I sat and I meditated with that for a while because, you know, I told him I was a massage therapist and I did healing work and everything. And because he told me he still had some flashbacks. So, you know, from a soul point of view, I thought, wow, isn't it interesting how spirit puts people in your life? You know, I may be doing some work with him in the future. And then sure enough, later on, he said, well, you know, I don't drive. He said, but I'd love to take you to dinner, because I told him it was my birthday and I was officially moving in on Saturday, you know. And,
nice.
He said, well, I'll take you off to dinner. I'll take you to dinner, but you'd have to drive. And I said, oh, how sweet. And I thought, you know, Spirit said, you know, you might be able to really, like, get him on the massage table. And just different things were coming to me about what to do to help to minister to his soul, you know, to help him heal from this. Yeah. So that was
well,
that was
and healing is never one way. God bless. Whoever comes into our lives offers as much for self as we offer to them. The undeniable.
Yes. And you know, Angelo Zarian, who's taught me so much about ritual and ceremony, he played an important part in your ritual as well.
I agree.
Yes.
Because he heard it and came out.
Yeah. And so it's always amazing, which is another unpredictable thing, which is what I love so much about all this. You know, it's just so, you know, and so that's so, I mean, to me, that's so cool that he showed up, because he's an important person in that, and you know, and you don't even have to know why or what, but he is, because you were doing ritual
up,
and
like
he entered,
I kept dragging
so that's
cut trees
cool.
back to the fire to keep it going, and the trees were like cut in the back of the end of my yard, and it was a long ass haul to drag this back and forth. I did it for an hour, and he kept coming out, sliding the door open and looking out. So he was part of it. I don't know at what point when I fell out and went into my little trance or whatever, if he was still, because my neck started hurting from keep turning around to see what he was doing.
Nice.
But
so
it
you
was
felt
great.
The shift, though? You felt the shift? Meaning
yeah.
you had a breakthrough from the anger that you were feeling?
Yeah, I was able to release the anger. Well, actually, I sat in it. You know, I sat in it and experienced it totally. I was able to release it. Like I said, both my parents were there, and I worked with them a little bit and asked them to, you know, that this was done between us now, and that I released the anger, and I forgave them, and I forgave myself, because sometimes I forget to do that. And I asked my parents to forgive themselves, because they've been hovering and hanging around me for a really long time. So it was really interesting that they were part of that fire ceremony. And just everything, my issues around, you know, the fear of the unknown and you know, unworthiness, every little aspect, every little thing that I wrote on that piece of wood or I painted on that piece of wood, you know, which I thought I was going to forget, but I didn't. It just came up as I was burning it, and it was just so beautiful how, you know, it just came up and I was able to deal with it. It was a little uncomfortable at first, you know, because to go and totally, you know, you think you're doing all this work on yourself, you know, and you think you've released it, you know, and then yet another layer of the onion. It's just like, wow, I never really felt that. I never really felt the anger and the rage around the time when I was in California. I never really felt this. I never really felt this. I had to bring it all up, and at one point I said to myself and my guys, I said, wow, you know, this is some intense pain here. It's understandable that I want to feel the pain, but I really don't want to go back to the time period and relive it. You know what I mean? I just wanted to experience the pain.
Listen. The pain is the pain. If you don't want to go into the past, don't put a story around it. That's what brings it back to the past. If you
exactly.
start saying,
yeah.
oh, because
right.
I feel this way, I must be, and that's when the negative talk starts. If
yeah,
you don't
right,
put
yeah.
the negative talk, that's the difference between going through the pain as a victim and going
right.
through the pain as
right.
victorious.
And
right.
also
well,
honoring the ritual, because
exactly.
that's what the ritual is all about, and this is
it's,
what was
right.
coming up, and that was perfect for
mm-hmm.
the ritual. So, you know,
right.
this is what you wanted, and I love that you were nervous and a little uncomfortable, because this, you know, I was going to say, this is just such a great way to interact with the unknown in such a
respectful, creative way, which then removes our fear of it, because we really do, you know, we do well, much better with the unknown than we think we do, you know, and you demonstrated that, because ritual is that. So you kind of get really good at that, and it's like you befriend the unknown, and then your world unbelievably just happens, and because you're not, you know, this is your friend. This isn't your enemy, the unknown.
Well, I remember thinking to myself, you know, all of us have been in such a conditioned state where, you know, true love, and I mean true unconditional love,
right?
You know, myself included, we don't know true unconditional love, at least not from each other. You know, and I'm not saying our moms have it, yes, but there's still the human part of us, truly, as far as I'm concerned, still gets in the way that love inevitably gets taught that, you know, I see it as a nanny, you know, where the parents reward the good behavior with love and they reward the bad behavior with, you know, discipline or fear or anger. And, you know, it's simply a truth of a conditioned state we're all in. So I remember pondering this one day going, what if, I agree, dogs do have unconditional love. I agree with that. Paula just posted that. But I said, if I'm afraid of the unknown, what if, I mean, just what if the unknown is unconditional love?
That's a great point.
And once I got that into my head, it was a matter of, okay, I still get nervous around the unknown, and I still get up, but I'm more willing to walk through it, because as long as that potential is a possibility, then let me walk through the unknown, because it could be the greatest love of my life, simply because I don't know unconditional love yet in this lifetime. And and I'll tell you, I must say, with the exception of the forest. I mean, and I get it. This is, the forest is not for everybody. Some people it's the beach. Some people it's the mountains. I do believe there's a place in nature for everybody, that their soul just opens up and starts singing and soaring and dancing when you're in that space. And, you know, I can't emphasize enough how much having, when I found a partner of the forest in my life, which was when my mother died, it literally became, oh, this is my mom. My mom went into an expanded space from a physical being to the experience of the trees and the forest became my mother, and started helping me, you know, come to me when you don't feel good. Okay, come to me when, you know, you're hungry for that love. Okay, you know, come to me when you need me for anything, which is truly the journey that that tends to lend to our moms. The forest was now giving it to me.
And I think it changes
it's
from
so
time
great,
to time,
It's so
too.
Great to Goldie, to recognize that the unknown is, you know, if I get comfortable with the unknown, and I have the courage to befriend the unknown, which is really what you guys are talking about, that is that's how and why you could say, what if the unknown is complete unconditional love? Because I really think that is, you know, the ultimate magnificent, you know, presence. And, you know, it's almost like,
I agree.
It's almost like, you know, you dare to want something so great, but you're afraid of it. And it is the unconditional love. And it's like,
right.
And it is
the irony of it. We're all afraid of the unknown, and that's where unconditional love lives.
I know, and I really think you're onto something wonderful, because I do believe, similar to, once you open up to these places, all these incredible understandings are there for you. And I think that you really, honestly, I think that's a truth. I really do. I think that is unconditional love, and that's how awesome it is, and that it does, it is, you know, friends with the unknown. I just think, just like dark matter is everywhere, and, you know, and energy is everywhere, you know, and that's what Nikola Tesla, you know, it's that, is that resonant energy. It's everywhere. And it's like, you know, but we, you know, everybody seems to say, what are you talking about? Or, you know, they're afraid of it, or don't talk about stuff like that. Or,
well, it's right, almost like, because I have heard my brother say, you know, my brother has never, quote unquote, found the love of his life.
Right.
He's had difficult relationships his whole life. He's 50 years old. I don't know if he'll experience it this lifetime. And he doesn't know that he'll experience this lifetime. So he doesn't like, he's very uncomfortable if you start talking about love. You know, he gets uncomfortable. Like, well, let's just not talk about that. You know, let's talk about, you know, sports or finance or, you know, and it's like, you know.
Because you've just dragged him into the unknown where he doesn't want to go.
Because,
you know,
he truly doesn't believe, the truth is, and I think this will resonate with you, Elise, with all of us, he doesn't believe he deserves it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
it's a good day.
It's
a good day when that shifts.
It is a good, and that is, because I'm telling you, when my mom died, and the woods were really the, I was so down. Like, I mean, I have done sex, drugs, and rock and roll my entire 20s into my 30s. And for part of my teens as well. And when my mother died when I was 35, nothing was darker. I mean, I have been on crack cocaine. Her death took me 7 layers darker in my sense of futility and hopelessness and fear. And the world became this big, huge, dark, ugly space that was going to attack me, and I had no protection. And hands down, it was the forest that literally did psychic surgery on me and healed me, because all of a sudden, where I was a social being, I couldn't, I say this, one of the things, the greatest gifts I ever gave myself is once my mom died, I pretty much stopped everything. I was still dabbling in coke, and I was still smoking my pot and drinking and, you know, still kind of not promiscuous, but, you know, not settled down either. I stopped all of that. But when I went into that dark night when my mom died, I literally had said, I go, if I am not sober during this, I won't know when the pain is finally gone. I have to be clear, because it can't last forever. I didn't know when it would end, but I was like, but I can't contribute to not feeling it. I mean, I literally was like, I used to say my heart is on high and my head is shut off. There is nothing logical about her dying. I'm never going to be able to touch her again, and I can't wrap my mind around that. And here's the beautiful part of the magic of life. 3 weeks after she dies, I have a dream about her. And you know what that creates? Two things. It created a lucid dream experience, because I went, I was hugging her. And I went, okay, the only way I'm hugging you is this has to be a dream, because you're dead. So, but then it also became simultaneously the breakthrough of, oh, my God, this is not the last time I'll ever hug you.
Yes.
You can come to me in my dreams. And now it opens up the dream state as, instead of just being me working out my human stuff that I work out in my dreams, now dreams become a level of communication between me and a different frequency of someone who means a whole hell of a lot to me, and that was my mom. I truly don't believe if I was drinking and coking and all that kind of stuff, I don't think I would have got that clarity 3 weeks after she died. That was a major, like, oh, my God, thank God I can still have intimacy with my mother. And I don't mean sexual intimacy. I mean I need to be able to touch my mother. That touch is an enormous part of my experiences. Everybody, the show's going to end. We're going to go on for a little bit longer. So you can catch it in the archives. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I love you guys.
Thank you.
I just don't want to end it right now because it's I still have this thought. So anyways, that was a huge gift to understand the what my belief system said was finality, which was part of what was scaring the crap out of me, that I could never touch my mom again. 3 weeks of you know, being sober and dealing with the absolute confusion and pain became the opening of we are multidimensional beings, and she is now a multidimensional. And the way I looked at it at the time was she was now an angel, you know, in charge of looking over me. And by golly, that feels really good to me. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
I want to share that, so.
Well, you know, my first year when my mom died, I stayed high, Goldie and Janine. I smoked my inheritance.
Because
I was in such pain.
I totally.
You know what?
Listen, it's a timing for everybody. It's a timing for everybody.
But after that, after I got done with, you know, just hiding for a year, it was just me and my dog, and I basically just dropped out of life. And then one day she appeared to me, and it was in a dream. But we had made this agreement before she left, that because we felt that, you know, her father came to her from the other side. And so she had mentioned it to me close to her time of death. And I said, well, Mom, if you ever think that really happens, would you make yourself available, you know, to do that for me when you're on the other side? And she said, if there is a way, absolutely. And she did come to me. And so that was just amazing. And that
Well, so was that the turning point?
Yeah,
there you go.
See,
okay.
Yep,
there you go.
You're very dialed in.
Well,
that's what cleaned me up.
See, that means, Elise, I really look at that as the year that you were still drugging, that was part of whatever experience you needed for the soul integration to happen. Mm-hmm. See, in other words, her death, just like my mom's death, they trigger that which we need to experience, which ultimately turns into a rebirth. Because are you the same person you were prior to her passing?
Mm-mm.
And it had everything to do with her passing, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. because archetypically speaking, when the mother dies, me and Janine have spoken about this privately, that is such a huge, huge sense of, well, how did you put it? I want to say loss, but see, that's only one side of the coin. If it's if it's a deep loss, the potential for a deep level of awareness is, of course, available as well, because that's the paradox. That which seems darkest will ultimately become our strength. And I am absolutely living proof that, you know, like I said, I opened up more to my dream state, being multidimensional, my ability to communicate. I found some discipline. But for you, your journey, it was truly perfect the way it happened, because nothing happens incorrectly when we surrender it, that our soul, if our soul wanted us to do something, it's what we were doing. And that our soul, people have this idea that the soul only wants, you know, lilies and butterflies and cotton candy. And I'll be damned, my soul has me in more darkest situations and dark arenas because I'm there. So clearly that's what my soul is looking for. You know, I've surrendered that. That's part of my journey. And now I stop bitching about it and just do it.
Goldie, when you just said that, my computer went completely dark. It just shut down, and it was so cool.
It's some magic in the air, I tell you, my friend.
Exactly. But you know what's funny? I really didn't have a great relationship with my parents. But you know what? Since they have been gone, I have a much we're much closer. I don't know if you that
is.
Makes any sense to you.
It totally.
But in the other realms,
sure.
It's just we're tighter now that they're in another realm than when we were when they were alive, and I'm really grateful for that.
Because they're still there, and the key is, you know, my mother was one that used to say, when they bury me, I'm done. That's it. And I would be like, Ma, you're going to reincarnate. And she'd be like, no, I'm not. And I go, well, you don't have to believe it for it to be so. And then, of course, she came to me later and went, you know, son of a bitch, you were right. I was like, yeah, imagine that. You know, it's like, so, like you, I also have a better relationship with my mom since she's gone. I mean, she really has. I have tasted my mother. My mother has taken me on journeys through wormholes, through some magical experiences, into the depth with a behind a whale, behind the eyes of a whale.
Wow.
Yeah, she's done some. She's taken me into amazing spaces, and the truth is, like always, I trust my mother. You want to go on a journey? I'm going with Mom.
That's so great. That's so great.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's cool, Goldie.
Oh, yeah.
It gives me something to look forward to with my mom, you know.
Oh, absolutely, sweetheart. Absolutely. And I really believe that what's going on now, this whole shift in frequency, the communication we're going to have with our beloved departed ones will be that they're not departed anymore. They're simply in another frequency, and that we'll start to begin to be able to see them and actually join them in other dimensions, because we'll be more quasi-physical. We won't be so dense.
Yeah, right.
You know, we're becoming closer to the dimension they're in, and they'll probably get on some level a charge where they can become a little more physical to find us in dimensions we're in. You know, it'll be an absolute exchange that we'll recognize that they're really not separated from us at all. They've been pretty much close to us the whole time. So,
yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Awesome show tonight,
I
ladies.
To say congratulations. I mean, you're on your initiation art, it sounds...
Oh, thank you, Janine. It was awesome. Thank
you, Goldie,
for that.
It was just a week ago.
Oh, man.
It's really, congratulations, and you deserve, that's courage, it's bold, and it's self-loving.
I had to do it, and I didn't want to put it off, and I mean, you guys have kept me on point and have inspired me, you know, because one of the things that I have done through my... addict career has been to, you know, I have all these great ideas and everything, but then I just don't follow through. So the gift that I gave myself was to do it. You know,
it's really powerful.
Because I was moving too, you know, so I said, you know what, there's not going to be any freaking excuses this time. I'm going to do it. I asked my cousin for the wood. She brought the wood immediately. It was cool. You know, it was all, everything was just, it happened in just perfect timing, and it was just all part. What a great way to consecrate my house, too. It was so great. I smudged. I went in there. I did a little ceremony inside. Yeah, and for me. I know. It was awesome. And you guys were there.
I brought
you in. You know, I felt your presence there, and it was just,
nice.
It was really magical. I was just really, really, I felt really blessed. You know, I feel a little tired now, though. You know, it's a lot of work.
Well,
but,
that sounds like, that's about right, feeling tired.
Yeah. Little exhausted,
absolutely.
You know, body's
you,
a little
you know,
sore.
Just
but,
rest when you can.
Yeah, honor that. Remember,
it.
It's part of the process.
Completely.
Yeah, because you'll find that when you have breakthroughs, and of course, and you know this anyways, the body needs, it's almost like, you know, we're in a different timeline. There's the whole body is readjusting to a new frequency, a new spin, a new harmonic tone. And, you know, I watched the series Fringe, and you really see how, or you even listen to George when he shares, you know, he'd get pulled to Mars or he'd get pulled to these other dimensions. When he came back, it would take him 3 or 4 days to recover. And, you know, where, you know, the New Agers are all going, oh, you don't feel good? What are you doing wrong? It's like,
No, absolutely.
I'm multidimensionally, you know, timeline jumping. My body, it really does take a toll. And it's not a negative. It's just a truth that, okay, so now you got to rest so your body doesn't break down because you're multidimensional jumping.
Your body's reorienting to, like, you've released, you're clearing. So you really, you know, actually listening to you say you're tired is even more confirmation of how deep your process was. So,
I took myself to bed at 6 o'clock. I didn't eat any dinner, y'all. I had a banana while I was listening to your show. I've been in bed all night. You know? I was like, well, you know, something must have happened when I don't eat, because I'm an eater. I will eat.
I'm an eater too. I'm an eater too. At least I love it. There's so much in common. All right, listen, sweetie, we're gonna have to. You gotta end the show. Thank you for calling
thank
in.
Thank you so much. Thank you both.
I'm really touched by your sharing on the show with us. I love it. Keep up the great work. You are absolutely welcome, invited guest all the time. I love that you're here with us.
That.
I really
ditto.
Am.
I love you guys both, too. Thanks for everything. I'll talk to you real soon. Have a great night.
All right. Good night.
Thank
I love you.
Good night. Good night, sweetheart.
Bye.
Love you.
Love
bye
you. Now. Love you. Bye.
All right. Well, another wonderful show, Janine. You rocked it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Goldie.
Well, and the
you
whole
call
audience.
Me after?
Yes. Well, let me.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard Copeland and Art and Susan and Elise and Lisa Wilson, I believe, had shown up.
Oh,
and
good.
The new people in the chat room, Paula. All the listeners, we were actually quite busy. We had about, I don't know, 15 people in the chat room at one point. It's
hey,
like, wow. Yeah,
good.
It was pretty wild. So thank you, everybody. I really appreciate the support. Next Tuesday night, 8 o'clock, I'll make the announcement next Monday night, but just so you know, next Tuesday night, George Kavassalis, he'll be on another reality show. And but before that, next Monday night, me and Janine will be back. All right, and we might do a show before that, just because we can. All right. Wait, Janine, tell people where they can find.
Oh, okay. Yes, yes. Thanks. Let's see. I have a new book out called The Yawning Rabbit River Chronicle. I love the book, and you can find it on my website jlkimmel.com, or you can find me on Facebook Janine L. Kimmel, or just as one of Golden Hoax friends if you can't find me.
Right.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I love you, sweetheart. You're so welcome, babe. You rocked it. And I love everybody. This is 2013, I'll tell you. The show is getting some juice to it. We got some interaction happening with people.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, me too. I'm delighted by it. I truly am. I'm expanded and delighted. So thank you, everybody. We'll talk to
Good
everybody
night,
really soon. Good night, Trees. Good night, John Boy.
Okay.
I'll talk to everybody soon. Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together
to have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.